Okay, everybody. Good morning. My name is Bridget C. I'm from Ohio, and I am a compulsive overeater. My abstinence date is September 27th, 2020. So just celebrated a big milestone yesterday. So it was really I thought the timing was really nice that I was asked to share the day after my 3-year anniversary, and it's pretty miraculous. To qualify, I'm going to show you some pictures because I used to be much larger than I am now. I'm not going to give weight numbers. But this is a picture of kind of what I looked like when I was close to my heaviest. I did get to a point where I stopped letting anybody photograph me. I'm kind of smiling, but I certainly wasn't feeling very happy. I will say I'm only 5 feet tall, and I'm about a women's size 22 in that picture. I couldn't shop at like the regular stores. And I will show you a picture of what I look like now. This picture taken a couple weeks ago. I was getting ready to go have a date night with my husband. So now I wear a size 8, and that I've like never in my adult life have I worn, that size. I've always been heavy. And I share that the pictures because when I went to early meetings as a newcomer, it was really helpful for me to see pictures and hear about people that had physical recovery. And that was the main thing that brought me in, the door was that I needed to lose weight and I couldn't stop eating. I thought that was it. That's all there was to it. Actually, there was a lot more. I have been a compulsive overeater for as long as I can remember. I had a wonderful childhood. Wonderful parents, well-educated, smart, loving. My mom was an attorney. My father was a college English professor. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I had two younger brothers, and I have a lot of memories of us just, sitting around the table and eating and sharing food and talking. And I believe my parents were probably both compulsive overeaters. They've both passed away. I remember as a young kid stealing a container of food that was supposed to be, a condiment, a topping. And, I ate the whole container myself up in my room. Got in trouble, by the way. I remember having a resentment at age 5 because there was a packaged side dish food we used to eat. And it said, because I was a pretty precocious little kid, it said that it served 4. And I was resentful because I thought, well, there are 5 of us, and why won't they just buy 2 boxes of it? Because I think I would like to eat the whole box, and I can't really I have never not yet been able to figure out why I'm a compulsive overeater. The big book says that alcoholics drink because they like the effect produced by alcohol, and I think that early on I discovered that I just liked the way food made me feel. And consequently, I became a chubby kid. I got bullied a lot and made fun of for my weight. And when I would complain to my mom, my lawyer mom, she said it didn't matter. What mattered was, that I got good grades. And, like if I couldn't be, I couldn't be skinny, if I had to be the fattest girl in the room, at least I could be the smartest. So that started early on, feeling that I had to compensate for being overweight and that somehow I had to be, just perfect at everything and I wasn't allowed to make a mistake. And that, only just in the past 3 years that I've been with OA have I got some relief from that. In high school, I was up to about a size 16, 18. So I still could shop in the regular stores. And the way I kept my weight at bay, because I still was, overeating every day, was this diet of my own making, where during the week I would pretty much just eat diet bars and drink diet soda and very little else. And then on the weekends, I would allow myself to eat as much as I wanted, whatever I wanted. And any, diet plan I had to feature some kind of a cheat meal or a cheat day. Some opportunity to just have this unbridled, unrestricted eating. And obviously OA doesn't do that. We don't overeat no matter what. And in college, my weight continued to climb. There was the all you can eat buffet that was the dining hall. And while my friends were experimenting with drinking and drugs, which I tried a little bit of, it just really didn't do it for me the way that, ordering a bunch of takeout food and, eating a food for a family of 4 you know, that gave me more of a high. After college, I had my daughter, so it's 1987. I was not married. Felt a lot of shame about that because nice Catholic girls were not supposed to get pregnant before they ma got married, but you know, here we are. And so I ended up marrying the first man who would show, you know, any interest in me. And my son was born in 1989, so that was a good thing that came out of that marriage. But it was an abusive marriage. He was very obsessed with my weight. He would weigh me. He bought me a diet book for our anniversary. 1 year for Christmas, he bought me a bunch of clothes that were, you know, obviously too small. I think it might have been a size 8, actually. And he sent me to different commercial weight loss programs and then would be really frustrated because he couldn't figure out why I was, you know, I'd go pick up the diet food and then, you know, how can you be gaining weight? It was because I was going to, you know, fast food places on the way home and sneaking around. I used to blame him for my compulsive overeating, but to be honest, you know, I had this problem long before he came. But when I was in that, you know, very unhappy marriage, I really turned to food for comfort. And I was married to him for 12 years. In 1991, I became a nurse. I'm still a nurse to this day, still work full time. Absolutely love it. I found that as a nurse, that gave me a lot of opportunity to eat because I could eat on the way to work. I work night shift. I could eat on the way home from work and I could eat at work and without him giving me any crap about it. And so I really enjoyed that. I did get up to a high enough weight after that in 19. So at this point, we're up to 1994. So I'm 29 years old and I qualified to have a gastric bypass. I want to give a disclaimer. I am not anti-bariatric surgery. It was not the solution for me. It might be the solution for some folks, but it wasn't for me. And I lost a bunch of weight with the gastric bypass, but you know, I lost about 100 pounds, and I slowly regained it back somehow. And my ex-husband, husband at the time, was really, you know, disgusted that I had gained the weight back. And he suggested, it was the first time I heard about Overeaters Anonymous. He said, God, you know, you need to go to Overeaters Anonymous. Said it real, you know, mean like that. And I thought he was being, you know, being a smart ass. And I asked him, you know, is that a thing? And he said, yeah, one of my coworkers went and, you know, she looks great now. So again, it was, you know, I had to look this certain way. So I went to my first OA meeting in 1995. But I went with this, you know, chip on my shoulder because he was the one that suggested it. And I quickly disqualified myself and decided that I was not one of you all because I heard someone speaking about how that, you know, he ate large quantities of food. And I reasoned that I was not a compulsive overeater because I ate, you know, tiny quantities of food, you know. Never mind. The reason I ate tiny quantities of food was because my, you know, my stomach had been surgically altered. But I decided that I wouldn't go back. And I didn't even think about OA for many, many years after that. In 1999, I divorced him. I was heavier than ever. And I didn't lose any weight after divorcing him, so you know, blaming him for my compulsive overeating was not valid. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his problem. It was my disease. In 2008, I started developing problems with my knees. Started to have injections in my knees. I went to an orthopedic surgeon who told me that if I didn't lose 100 pounds, I would end up having to have a total knee replacement by the time I was 50. And I was about 43 at the time. And I remember just sitting in his office and crying. And, you know, he suggested that I have bariatric surgery. And I explained to him, well, I already had bariatric surgery. And, you know, and here I am. I'm still, you know, I'm still over 100 pounds overweight. And he said, but there's this new bariatric surgery that you got to try. So I went and signed up to get a gastric band, a laparoscopic band, lap band surgery, and they did an ultrasound, before they did it. Thank you. And discovered that I had somehow managed to stretch my stomach back out, so it really didn't give me any restriction. And the way I did that was I ate, I could only eat small quantities at a time, so I ate like 16 small meals a day. I ate every waking hour. I never could get enough. And I guess gradually that stretched things out. So I got the gastric band. I paid this time my insurance. I had insurance that didn't cover any bariatric surgery, so I paid $16,000 out of pocket to try to arrest this problem that I had with food. And I did lose some weight initially, but then I gained it back. Ended up paying that same bariatric surgeon for diet pills when the surgery didn't work. And then in 2019, I ended up having to have a total knee replacement anyway, which, if anybody's had that, it's a pretty brutal surgery. And yeah, I was about 54, so at least I made it past 50. The doctor had predicted I wouldn't make it till to age 50. And then I'm getting to the point of how did I finally end up in OA? In May of 2020, my gastric band failed. I ended up having complications, and I had to have surgery to have it removed. Ironically, my insurance didn't pay for that either, so I had to pay for having my gastric band removed. And then I was really in a world of hurt because I was accustomed to eating 16 times a day, but there was no longer any restriction. So I just, my eating was out of control, couldn't stop eating. And then in September of 2020, I had to go back to that same orthopedic surgeon that had done my knee replacement and tell him, now I'm having problems with my right knee. And he gave me a shot in my right knee and he said, you really need to lose weight. Just lose some weight. That'll really help. And he didn't understand. I couldn't just lose some weight. I mean, look at all the things I had tried, and I didn't even mention all the commercial diets and stuff that I tried. Even after having the gastric band, I still was on every diet because it didn't work because I was a compulsive overeater. So I came home that day, and that was would have been September 20. I don't know. That was a Friday, and on Sunday, September 27th, 2020, I was laying in this office, the same place where I'm sitting here talking to you all, crying and praying to God because I do believe in God. But I had never prayed this way before. I was just really desperate, and I just cried and I said, "What do you want me to do?" Basically, what's your will, God? What should I do? What should I do about this problem? I have to lose some weight, and I can't stop eating. And God spoke to me. It was not, like an audible, thunderbolt voice or anything, but like that still small voice. And he said, "You need to go to Overeaters Anonymous." And I hadn't thought about Overeaters Anonymous since that meeting back in 1995. So, yeah. So I went to my first meeting. I cried all through the meeting. I know there was a man there who said he had been abstinent for 12 years and that he used to be very heavy, and now he looked all thin and happy. And so I got a lot of hope. And I stayed after the meeting. Someone sent me a copy of The Dignity of Choice, which I don't think that pamphlet's called that anymore, but basically it had a plan of eating. So I got abstinent that day. I knew I was onto something because usually I started my diets on a Monday, but I started that day on a Sunday. I ordered the literature. Initially, I thought, oh, I'll just do this by myself because I don't want to bother anybody. But I decided, for once in my life, I was going to follow directions. I was at such a point of desperation that if they would have told me I had to go skydiving in order to be abstinent, something I don't care to do actually, but I would have done it if they said this is what I needed to do. So I got a sponsor, like they suggested. I still have the same sponsor, and I do what she suggested. She told me write down your food at night, send it in to me in the morning. Text me if anything's going to change. And I, the way I work the steps, the way I work my program now is I have to take steps 1, 2, and 3 every day. And sending my food is that, yeah, I'm powerless over food. I can't make food decisions on my own. I don't make them independently. And it's actually very freeing to write down my food and then just not. Is that 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Okay. Well, we move a little quicker. So I do that every day. I say the third step prayer, as is written in the big book, because I feel like a solidarity with all the 12-step people all over the world who are saying that same 12-step prayer. And I do a short version of that 12-step prayer, third step prayer. I do a shortened version of that throughout the day, which is basically, God, what should I do? What's your will for me? It's that same prayer that I prayed, on the floor of my office, September 27th. What should I do? And now I get all kinds of direction about what to do and what not to do. I did find it was easier to stay abstinent as I continued to work through the steps. When I worked through step four, I let go of a lot of shame and guilt I had about my past. I forgave my ex-husband, that features a lot in this story. And step six and seven, I'm working on my character defects. It's interesting. The big book doesn't say, that he, removes our shortcomings. It just says we asked him to remove our shortcomings. So definitely a work in progress. But my family and friends say the change, and they're not talking about the weight loss, just the change in my personality, my demeanor. My kids said the other day that I was so chill now. The idea that anybody would call me chill—that's pretty amazing. I made amends to my adult children and to my husband in steps eight and nine, and that improved the quality of my relationships. And I feel that eating abstinently every day, staying abstinent, and I am a person who eats three meals a day, and I weigh and measure. And I just share that because it's helpful to hear. I think sometimes that there are a lot of different ways to work this program. But I eat that way because I need really tight boundaries with food, and eating abstinently is part of, a living amends to myself for all that I've put my body through with all these diets and surgeries, et cetera. I do a for step 10, I do a written inventory daily. I also write a gratitude list. I do that at the same time I write my food down. I write my food down at night for the next day. I don't send it till the morning, because tomorrow's not promised. But I write it down the day before so that I don't have to make food decisions on an empty stomach when I wake up. And for step 11, I've always prayed, but my prayer is different. I'm not telling giving God advice or giving God directions about how he needs to fix my problems or improve my life. I just kind of ask him what we're going to do for the day. I sort of show up and report for service. I've also started meditation, which is a new practice for me. One of my character defects is I tend to talk too much, and a meditation is a really good discipline for me because I have to listen, and I really feel close to my higher power when I do that. As far as working step 12, I started sponsoring as soon as I had worked through the steps and I was able to sponsor. And I continue to sponsor because it really strengthens my recovery. And the big book says that nothing will so much guarantee our immunity as work with other alcoholics. And I believe that that's part of the reason that I've experienced this miracle of, ongoing abstinence is that I'm working with others. I'm sponsoring multiple people. And I will close with this. I used to pray all the time. For God to fix my metabolism and make me thin, and that I would be able to eat whatever I wanted but still be thin. That's what I wanted. And I if God would take me up on that prayer, and say, okay, you can go back to eating the way you used to eat but still keep this weight loss, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it because I don't want to leave this way of life. This 12-step way of life is so much better. And I like the freedom and the food neutrality that I have, and that I don't have every, waking thought consumed with eating. And I think I might have time to read my little clip from the big book, so I will do that. This is from page 84 of the big book, and this kind of sums up how I feel now these days. It says, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We'll seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we'll find that this has happened automatically. We'll see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Indeed, instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And that has been my experience in Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you for listening.